This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
All right, everybody, get your head right. It is Ben and Woods on an FU Astros Friday. How about that? Oh, my God. Baseball Armageddon yesterday in Major League Baseball. And I cannot wait to dive into everything that went down. I was like a heroin addict yesterday looking for a fix on Twitter. I couldn't get enough. Refresh, search this guy, that guy, and we'll get into all that. We've got some really explosive audio that I found last night I want to play for you guys. You're going to love that. We've got a great, great guest lineup today. Today should be a really fun Friday show. Let me introduce my crew here. We got Ben Higgins. He'll be in shortly, about 5:30. I know he's battling a cough. I hope he's feeling better. I don't think that he is, but I hope, you know, maybe the rest of us can take some of the pressure off Ben Higgins today. Ben carries us a lot. Maybe we'll pick him up. That's what good teammates do. All right? Thanks, Paulie. We've got... I'm Woodsy. I'm half of Ben and Woods. We've got our assistant producer, Alex the Hammer Perlin. Good morning, Hammer.
Hey, if there was a day to fill in, man, I'm ready.
You ready today? You feel good?
I had one of the most relaxing, just sensational days of my life.
That's amazing. Man. Massage, maybe?
No, man. I can't get this anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can still get a massage.
Nah, man. Once you kind of like go that route, you can never go back.
So the I guess the breaking news is that Hammer likes to quote unquote go that route you have in the past.
Yes,
it's interesting.
You can get a regular massage now.
No, I'm telling you, man. Like
so, like one. Yeah, once you've done the other, you can't just go get a regular because you feel bad.
Yeah, it's the whole analogy with steaks. Once you have like the perfect cooked steak, you're not going to go to Denny's and.
And get a ribeye from Denny's. I get it.
Denny's, but
I love Denny's too. I don't want to eat
a pancake place.
100%. We've got our executive producer, Paul Sneezy Rindle. It's your new nickname,
Sneezy.
We were talking about it yesterday. It happens to me too because Paul has been very sneezy lately. And I said, "Are you okay? Are you sick?" He goes, "No, I just sneeze." And I go, "Do you do it at home?" He goes, "No, just here." And I'm like, "Isn't that weird?" Because I
sneeze at home a little bit.
I'll rip off six in a row. You know, I do too. I freaking love it. And I'm like, why am I? I don't feel bad. I'm not like sick or anything. It's just fascinating to me. Paul is in one of his, you know how I get cluster headaches from time to time?
Yeah.
Paul's in his sneezing phase right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, bud. It happens.
It happens. Yeah, no, I just think it's funny. I'm not like mad about it.
I don't feel sick at all.
It's just you sneeze.
Coughing's kind of gross.
Coughing sucks.
Sneezing is hilarious.
It's hysterical. The worst is in the middle of an interview, and it's happened to me before. I start to get the tickle, and I'm like, I wave at Ben. I'm like, just go. And
I have
to
turn the thing out
here. I sneeze violently. Oh, God, yeah.
It's more dangerous than anything.
You get spit all over your windshield. I don't like to cover my mouth either because I have a weird theory.
That's really gross.
No, listen. Listen to my theory. If I'm if I'm expelling something, why would I then want that on my hand?
Why would you want that on other people's world?
So I do the thing. I pull my shirt out and I sneeze into my shirt so it gets on my chest.
You do that when you're driving as well?
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes I do the crook of the arm, like the into the crook of my elbow.
Yeah, I do that.
But sometimes I just let it fly because I don't want it on me. And I, you know, listen, I'm a pretty selfish guy. I'm not don't really care about. And then plus, you know, Paul sneezes 600 times a day, and I know he's not sick, so I'm not going to get sick from Paul's sneezing. All right,
so I got you,
Sneezy Rindle. We got the whole crew here. Everybody have, what did everybody do yesterday?
What do you mean, what I do yesterday? You know what I did?
What?
Watched your video that went viral yesterday on social media. What do you mean what I did yesterday?
Mother of God.
How are you going to not tell me that you went did Wipeout?
I thought everybody knew this.
No, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But you got to realize that once, before you ever really came into my life working at 973 The Fan, I didn't even know you existed.
That's true. That's true. I knew you existed. I didn't like you.
Which makes no sense to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Found out about Wipeout about 2 days into the Ben and Woods show a couple years back.
Yeah, we did a full thing.
You kind of just slipped it in there.
Yep.
You mentioned it in passing, and it just kind of went right over all of our heads, except for one of our listeners, mm-hmm. H.J. Preller, heard that.
Old H.J.
Went and found, you know, paid money for the episode just so he could make gifts of you wiping out.
And there were a bunch of them. And our dear friend, Ryan Cohen.
That's how I found out about
this. Yeah, so I mentioned it again yesterday. We had the guy on from Wheel of Fortune, and we were just talking to him about what his experience is like on Wheel of Fortune. And again, I casually slip in, hey, you know, it must be nice to go on a game show and not completely embarrass yourself like I did on Wipeout. And that's it. Ryan Cohen had never heard that story. So he went and he did some digging and found pictures of me and video of me when I was on the game show Wipeout with my old producer, Jay Isbell, who's still a guy I love dearly, but he wanted to kill me after I lost it for us. I lost us $50,000. And to this day, he'll be like, man, 50 grand. Like, I haven't seen him in a year. He'll be like, 50 grand.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you. I said it. You need to work out. You need to run. And look at you. And I go, dude, when we got into the finals, Hammer, like we rolled through the first thing, no problem. Like the thing you saw was round one. I ended up completing that with really good time. Now, of course, they only show you the wipeouts.
Of course,
that's the name of the show. We got through round two. We were the first one to finish round two. I did a cannonball off because I was so stoked because we got through it so fast. Then we got beat in round three. So we're like, oh man, that was fun. It was a good run. Well, then we get a phone call. Hey, you guys were finished in third place out of 25 groups or whatever. The second place team dropped out. Guy's hurt. He hurt his knee, and the other guy is a doctor, and he's got to go do surgery. You guys are in the finals. 50 grand.
This is incredible.
So I'm a beyond a wreck. I'm a wreck. We do our morning show here in San Diego. We drive up to essentially L.A., kind of off into the woods of L.A., and we stand around all day, and we wait because they film it at night. By that time, my anxiety level's at about a 7. Well, then I suck down 2 NO explodes.
Which absolutely should give you a heart attack, and you should have died.
100%. Luckily, I have a lot of experience with stimulants in my life, Hammer. Yeah. So, but what it did do is it took my anxiety from a 7 and moved it to a 14. So we go to the finals. Jay goes first. Crushes it. Gets through it in like 10 minutes. 5 minutes. Next guy goes. Takes him half an hour. So I'm lying there on the scaffold. I don't know. I basically know that all I got to do is finish and we'll win because this guy took so frigging long. They send me down the giant slide with like 10,000 pounds of water on top of me, shoots me out. I fly through the air for a good 3-4 seconds, hit the water, and I swim over to what's called the Iron Mason. And I looked at the Iron Mason and I said, okay, I know exactly which way I need to go to get through this thing. I went the complete opposite way and my brain would not let me correct myself. It's going one way. I should have gone with it. I went counterclockwise to it, and I couldn't figure it out. I could not adjust. So I ride the thing to the top of the Iron Mason. You'll see it. You can find the episode, and you watch me just fall from the top to the bottom. I land my whole body on one ankle, my ankle compression fracture, my ankle. I tumble into the water, concussed. And I'm bobbing there. They have to come in and grab me by the vest, pull me out.
This is actually hilarious.
It's the worst thing ever. I vomit. As soon as they put me in a wheelchair,
get out of here.
I vomit all over the place because I'm concussed. And they take me off, and Jay puts me in the back of his truck and drives home livid. Livid. So then,
I would have just left you there. Are you kidding me? You just cost me so much money.
50 grand. So then, we do a giant listener party at Dave and Buster's. And when I say giant, Hammer in a conference room. I'm not kidding you. There were 500 people there on the big, and we were all watching on the big screen. To have to sit there and wear that after we lost.
You actually showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, kudos.
I had to.
Yeah, kudos.
And I wore it on the, and I'm wearing it a decade later. It's been almost a decade since that happened, and I'm still wearing it.
Yeah, we got to bring it back, though. I mean,
you know, people always ask, hey, would you do it again? And I said, there's no way. There's no way I would do Wipeout again.
Even doing all your hardcore fitness stuff?
Even then. And I told you, I talked to the guys that create the stuff, and it's not, I don't even think it's on the air anymore, but they said, you know what we do? We get stoned, and we try to kill people. That was what the engineers of it told me. They said, we get super high and think of things that we can do. They go, we love when people get bloody. We love when people break their legs,
their
arms.
What a dream job.
Right? And it was honestly like, it. Some of the challenges were easy and we nailed them. But that last one, man, and once your mind goes, your body will not follow. Like, my body would not let me do what it needed to do. My mind was so gone.
But if we do get the opportunity to do a game show of that nature, like Wipeout, you best believe we're going to go on it. I'm sorry. I don't care about what your past experience is. The best type of story is a comeback story. Right now, you have the worst, probably, appearance ever of all time from the sounds of it on Wipeout.
No.
I mean, to break your ankle, have a concussion, and then start puking.
There's worse.
What? Did the person die? How much worse can it get?
All right. I'm fully embarrassed, but that's, yeah, I don't know. It's like I'm not a glutton for punishment. Why the F would I subject myself to that again?
Oh, come on, man. That comeback story, that feeling of like you going to the worst of the worst and then be able to come out on top and shine as a champion with me next to you. Come on. That's what dreams are made of.
I mean, we did.
I'm with Hammer. They'd make a movie out of that.
We yeah. did.
It'd be a terrible movie, but they'd make a movie out
we
of that.
We did dominate the old media, new media soccer game. What is happening? And so I, all right, maybe I would think about it. They don't do the show anymore.
I know, but like a show of that nature, because a show like that will always find its place on TV.
All right. I mean, I would never do like a Fear Factor. I don't want to eat roaches. That's not my thing. But I would do like a physical thing again. Yeah, I honestly,
that was my question.
I'm in better shape now than I was 10 years ago.
So you've done Wipeout. We talked to Derek, who was on Wheel of Fortune. If you could be on any television game show, what would it be?
Me, Rock and Roll Jeopardy. that's my dream. I'm literally sitting with my dad one time watching Rock and Roll Jeopardy, and I don't know how many questions are on each board. What is it? There's
three, four, five.
There's a ton of questions. I literally was sitting with my dad. I cleared the entire board. I got everyone right. My dad was like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, yeah, this is what I... If I was on Rock and Roll Jeopardy, I'd be a millionaire.
See, I'm like that with Family Feud.
Feud's amazing.
Yo, get me on Family Feud, dude. I crush Family Feud just because of my knowledge. I'm not like a very intelligent person. I can't tell you about chemistry, but just like random stuff going on in life.
Interesting.
And I feel like my sense of awareness of like people doing these, I don't know, surveys, I understand like, yo, I know how they would think, so I can always get the answer.
Now, that's something I would do in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Family Feud.
I'd like to play Deal or No Deal.
Ooh, not a lot of skill in Deal or No
Deal,
though, but thrilling. Yeah, you kind of
skill in decision making for sure.
It's a guess. You're guessing.
But at the end, when you start getting to those big numbers, and you got to decide, do I take the deal and just walk with this money?
Right. That's not. There's no skill in that, though. There's not like you don't have to use your brain.
Get your blood pumping when you got to make that decision.
No, it's thrilling.
It'd be fun.
It's fun as hell. But like,
I'm losing all my money on that show.
100%.
I'm just so greedy. I can't help myself.
Me too. Family Feud, the morning show Family Feud. I would like to, if they would organize it between a couple of morning shows in the building. I would do that in a friggin' heartbeat.
That'd be fun.
In a heartbeat.
I need Steve Harvey. I don't want any other host.
100%.
Steve Harvey is
Love
the
Steve
GOAT
Harvey. He is.
When it comes to Family Feud.
Huh? He really is. He's fantastic. All right, we've got a jam right now. That was a lot of fun. I love, let's talk about maybe when my parents got divorced, Hammer, next, just to bring up any painful memories from my younger days, all right? Talk about the girl in college that broke my heart, too. Well, maybe we'll do that next.
Actually, that one, I want to listen
here on Ben and Woods. No, next we are going to play you. I got to say, I'm rarely jealous of the other shows on our station for the guests that they get. I was jealous about this one. One of my favorite athletes in any sport of all time joined Gwen and Chris yesterday. CC Sabathia, just the greatest. Just the greatest. And I haven't heard this yet. I cannot wait to hear it. We'll play it for you next, our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight.
The Fan is your home for all football action. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
one of the best ever on chain. Little Van Halen on an FU Astros Friday here on Ben and Woods. Boy, I was hot mad yesterday, Pauly. I really was. The more and more I see, the more mad I get. Not only as, you know, also a Yankee fan, but just as a baseball fan. Boy, and it's just the smugness. I'll tell you what, I can deal with a lot of stuff. Smugness, arrogance, cockiness, not a fan, man. Not a fan. All the steroid, you know, what about the steroid guys?
Yeah, those, it's a joke.
Those dudes were quiet. They're very quiet. They didn't say a friggin' word.
I didn't take a nap yesterday. I took a sleep.
Yeah.
I've not been sleeping well this week, yeah. So I definitely caught up yesterday. I woke up and just checked my phone.
Did you see my Twitter feed?
Then I checked Twitter, and I go, OMFG,
yep.
What is happening to my sport that I love? Burning to the ground!
It's cannibalizing itself. I loved it because
it's a joke.
I loved that other players from other teams were like, man, this sucks. And you saw it from all over the league. Not just Trevor Bauer, okay, all over the league from every team. Tucker Barnhart from the Reds, you know, all kinds of people. Blake Snell were like, and I'll tell you, man, you know what it's done? It's pitchers versus hitters now.
Yeah.
Dude, and if I'm a hitter, if I'm an Astros player and I'm digging in, bro, next year's going to suck. The next few years for the Astros are going to suck. And I don't care how many games they win. They're going to get booed everywhere they go. People are going to be banging trash cans everywhere they go. They're going to be called cheaters. They're labeled cheaters for the rest of their lives. And you know what? It's friggin' well-deserved, man. It's well-deserved. One of my favorite,
it's a joke.
One of my favorite pitchers of all time joined Gwynn and Chris yesterday. CC Sabathia just retired from the Yankees, but had a long storied career, Hall of Fame career, in my opinion, you know, with Cleveland, with Milwaukee, and ended his career in New York. And, you know, it kind of feels, I think, he got cheated out of maybe one, at least one, maybe two, at the end of his career. I love this man with my whole heart. Here he is at CC Sabathia. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight.
Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline is a gentleman who I had the opportunity to play with, as widely renowned as the best teammate you can possibly ever have. CC Sabathia joins us here on the Gwynn and Chris. CC, what's up, man?
What's up, Bob? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. First and foremost, before we get into any baseball stuff, how's retirement treating you?
It's been good, man. It's just been really just riding around like an Uber driver, to be honest, from basketball practice to dance to workouts to all that stuff. So it's been good just getting acclimated back into with the family. So it's been a lot of fun, though.
CC, everybody talks about you as such a great teammate, and I think you proved that with the Yankees on several different occasions. It seemed like if any of your players got into any kind of difficulty, you always stood up for them from the mound and did it the right way. Where did that come from?
I think it came from the Indians organization, really. Like when I first got drafted with the Indians, that was just something that they really stressed, just being a good teammate, taking care of your guys. And then when I got to the big leagues, I had guys like Ellis Burks, you know, Dave Burba, Chuck Finley, Jim Thome, Robbie Alomar. Like, these guys were like my big brothers. They really took care of me, and I really appreciated that. So I just always wanted to be that guy for a young guy coming up, and it just kind of turned into, you know, my thing. So it was I was always very appreciative of the veterans that I had with the Indians, and just always wanted to be that for a young guy.
See, I know it's a lot harder to do, excuse me, when you're playing, but I'm sure at this point you've been able to kind of look back over your career and look at some of the things you were able to accomplish. What goes through your mind as you look through some of these numbers and you look at some of these stats that you've been able to put up? I mean, a kid from Vallejo all the way, who I believe at the end of, when it's all said and done, will end up in this Hall of Fame. How do you digest this stuff?
It's hard. It's crazy. Like, it's fun. You know, my wife and kids bought me a book that had every article.
The legacy book, right?
From my whole career. And I sat there on Christmas, man, and read that book and read articles and, like, cried. And, like, it was so cool to, like, go back and, like, read articles about my grandmother and my mom. And, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a lot of fun. And to be able to try to put that all in context from where I came from and to be able to win a championship with the Yankees, man, it's just been a blessing, an amazing journey. But I think the best time that I had was with you in Milwaukee. Yeah, man, we had so much fun. And everybody was asking me, why are you pitching on 3 days rest? I'm like,
I don't want the season to end. Like, I wanted to win every game so we could play all the way to the World Series. That's how much fun we was having on that team.
I was telling him, I was like, I don't know if it's accurate, but I felt like C pitched every third day. Like, literally, from the time he showed up and put a Brewer uniform on, he was out there every third day. And it wasn't like he was just out there. He was dominating when he was out there. That team was a lot of fun.
You know,
that team was so much fun. And I had no problem doing it, too, because, you know, we needed the pitching, and I was strong. I felt good, and I had no problem going out there, man. We had a lot of fun.
Went 11-2 with the Brewers when he joined them in 2008. CC Sabathia is with us. I want to talk about your pitching career. I want to talk about a bunch of stuff, but I always find it fun when I look at a guy's stats in Major League Baseball as a Hall of Fame pitcher and see that you hit 3 career home runs. One of them
was all this guy wanted to do was
with the Brewers, and I know as a former pitcher myself, you and not to your level, of course, but hitting is what pitchers love to talk about at the end of their career. So tell me a little bit about what you remember about your 3 home runs.
Oh man, that's my biggest highlight for sure. like 1,000%. I mean, and I talk so much crap about hitting all the time. Tony can tell you. That's all I would sit on the bench and be like, man, I can get a hit off this dude. I can get off this dude. So to be able to like to actually go up there and get hits and like hit a home run was cool. But the one that I remember the most was Dodger Stadium because I have been talking crap about hitting and you know Casey Blake and Travis Hafner were on the team with the Indians at the time, and I came in after the inning. That's all I would talk about. The day that I pitched, if it was interleague, just hitting. So I come in after the second inning, and I'm ready looking for my helmet, looking for my gloves, and they hid my stuff. So they put my stuff, like, upstairs. So I'm pissed off. I'm the first one out. Like, I'm mad. Like, they won't let me get my on-deck swings. Like, they hating on me. So I go up there, heat it, take the first 2 pitches, and just swung hard as I could, and ended up hitting the homer, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I certainly remember that. All right, see, we got to ask you, man. You made a little bit of waves yesterday when I think it was yesterday morning you were on a show and you mentioned that you felt like you've been cheated with all this Houston Astros stuff going on. Does it make you angry at this point? Because listen, those were some of your last few years getting an opportunity to win another title. And to hear some of the things that's come out in that report, it's gotta make you feel some type of way.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating, just because I mean, and the only thing I'm frustrated about is just the 17 series. Just because I felt like that team was really good, and you know, I mean, we were chasing you know that World Series. I mean, we were the wild card team that year. We you know went into Cleveland and beat them, and then we went to Houston, lost the first 2, but then came back here. And, you know, 1-3 in a row. So, you know, it was just a tough way to kind of lose a series, especially, you know, not just me at the end of my career, but Judge, these young guys, you know, it just could have validated everything for them. And, you know, it's just one of those things when you see in all these reports and different things, a lot of stuff coming out today. It's crazy, man. It's insane to see all the stuff going on.
CC Sabathia, the future Hall of Fame pitcher, got the start in Game 7 of that 2017 ALCS, and it was in Houston. And, of course, you know, this whole cheating scandal talks about the Astros being able to steal signs when they were at home, and maybe that series kind of underscores that because they won every one of their home games and lost all the games to you guys at Yankee Stadium. But as you hear some of this stuff come out, can you take yourself back to Game 7 or that series a little bit and go, you know, now a little of some of that stuff kind of makes sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it was a little harder to pitch. You know, I started that Game 7, but I think I started Game 3 in Yankee Stadium, and I pitched pretty good. You know, and, you know, they were chasing pitches and different things, and then, you know, I get to Houston and, you know, they're sitting on everything. They're not chasing, you know, like backdoor slider, different things like that I like to do. So it's a different game. It makes it harder for, you know, a pitcher, especially, you know, a guy of my caliber, you know, at that point in my career. So, yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating, man. Getting signs is fine if you got a guy at second base or, you know, how we do it traditionally. But the way that was going on, you know, it's just frustrating, man. It's tough to you know, have that happen to you and us be so close.
You know what's bothering me most about it, see, is it's like everybody's trying to lump in what has been okay in terms of a guy getting on second, decoding the sign. It seems like everybody's trying to lump that all into one big cheating thing, and I've been trying to do my best to explain that that's just not the case. It takes time. If a guy gets on second, first of all, it seems you have to have enough time to decode the signs at that position. And it's not always that easy, right?
It's not always that easy, and it gives me a chance. Like, if you have a camera on the sign, it don't give me a chance to change them or even, you know, notice that you have them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
When, right.
Most of the times, by the time you guys get the signs at second base, then I can notice it a pitch or two later, and then I can change them. It's just a cat and mouse. But if you have a camera streaming the sign, I have no chance. And if you know what's coming first pitch of the game, you have an advantage.
If you would have had all the signs like apparently the Astros did, I think you would have hit more than three home runs.
I definitely would have hit more than three home runs.
Trying to turn that around a little bit. CC Sabathia, one of the great pitchers of our generation, nice enough to join us here. And just real quick before we let you go, could you share us a little fun stuff about Tony Gwynn Jr., peek behind the scenes? Because you guys became friends, obviously, as teammates in Milwaukee, and I'm just curious kind of what drew you to Tony and how that's all played out. Because he's talked about you a lot when we've done this show the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, we had a great time, like I said, in Milwaukee, you know, just getting a chance to meet him. And that very first year, I think we just clicked. You know, yeah. We had me, him, Prince, Ricky, and we just hung out pretty much literally every day. Like, we hung out every day. And even in the offseason, I came down to San Diego and watched the Raiders get whooped.
Yeah,
and wanted to leave
at halftime. We're getting ready to talk
about that,
too.
Wouldn't let me leave at halftime. I am the king of leaving at halftime. If the Raiders losing, I'm out at halftime. They just lost to the Jets a couple of weeks ago. And my son was like, where are we going? I'm like, what are you talking about, where are we going? Watch them get blown out.
Let's talk about
but
that.
But I remember leaving that game, too.
See, let's talk about that, because I also tell these guys that you're a hilarious follow on IG, because you are a Raider fan, and you're not one that really sugarcoats how you're feeling about the Raiders. You had a few different, I guess, cycles in terms of you started out really irritated with the Raiders before the season started. They got off to a good start, and you were kind of like giving them a pass, and you were willing to get along. But then they showed their true colors, and you went back to being irritated. Tell us where
I've been a Raider fan my whole life, so I know this cycle. If they get you excited, well, first of all, I was mad because they signed AB. I knew that wasn't going to work out.
Yes, you did.
I just knew we didn't have the organization.
You said that from the very beginning.
Yeah, from the start, I knew we didn't have the structure from the organization to be able to handle that. So I was a little frustrated by that. And then I was excited when all that played out. He went to the Patriots. I thought it was going to help us out, and we did kind of get off to a good start. And then I go to this game here at the Jets, and I think we were 6-2 or 6-3 at the time. And you can't lose to a team 34-3 when you're supposed to be a playoff team. So yeah, I mean, it's just my cycle in life as a Raider fan, man. And that goes for the game, too. They start off good, they play bad, and then they lose it at the end. It's been for 39 years now.
See, hey, man, we certainly appreciate you coming on, man. You're taking some time away from the family to come on the air. We appreciate it, man. And you and I got to get up at some point. I don't know when you're going to be back on the West Coast, but next time you're down, make sure you hit me up.
Definitely, definitely. And anytime y'all want me to come on, I'll come back on anytime.
Very nice.
Awesome, awesome. All right, see, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem, fellas.
And next time you come to the West Coast to see Tony Jr., just hit up your boy, Tony G, and I'll roll with you guys, whatever you're doing. I'll drive you around, whatever you guys want to do. I'll make you dinner, lunch, rub your feet, whatever you want. Like, I'm in. I'm green with envy. Right
you really
now.
Were jealous of that one.
Dude,
I've never seen that before.
I don't.
With other shows. You don't get jealous of other shows.
Well, you know me. If we never did an interview, I'd be like, cool. That means we've got 4 hours of funny-ass, fun, riveting content. So I'd be fine. When I saw that yesterday, I was like, what? He's going on their show? I'm like, what? I started to panic. I was like, well, this sucks. This sucks. I would love to do nothing more than hang out with that guy for an hour and listen to his stories. Oh, my God.
Paul, how come you didn't play Major League Baseball with Woods' favorite players?
I know, seriously.
I said the same thing before you got here. I was like, hey, Woods, how come you didn't play a professional baseball player with really cool athletes?
Man, this sucks. This sucks.
CC Sabathia appearing with Gwynn and Chris on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU-4U. Or visit SDCCU.com. SDCCU.com. And that went better than I kind of hoped. I was really just crossing my fingers that anything would come out when I sat down of my mouth in terms of voice this morning. I am feeling better, actually. I definitely am on the road to recovery, but usually at the end is when it sounds the worst. So
I'm very sorry that we'll you're feeling this way.
We'll get to the three-day weekend. You don't have to sit with me all next week, which will be nice.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I'll miss
I'm still sick.
I'll miss you,
bud. But next week's going to be fun, half the show's going to be out in Peoria, Arizona at Padres Fantasy Camp. Paul and Woodsy are heading out. Hammer and I are going to stay here. I mean, I can't miss the Farmers Insurance Open, obviously, so I got to stick around.
Yes, but, correct.
But we'll still have our full week of shows after the Monday holiday, Tuesday through Friday. And if it's anything like last year, going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, it's so fun. And, you know, just grabbing guy like, oh, cool, Hoffy's here, or Jake Peavy's here, or Tony Gwynn Jr.'s here, or Randy Jones is here. We're gonna bring all those guys in, and we're going to be talking a lot of baseball. If you like baseball and you like the San Diego Padres, man, do not miss Ben and Woods next week.
And how about this week of content to lead into next week? We're going to have so many conversations.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to get all of their opinions. And listen, you know, I said it earlier, the pitchers versus the hitters. I mean, that's kind of what baseball, it's always kind of been that way. But, man, is it's getting bad. You saw a lot of pitchers speak out yesterday. And guys like our very own Tommy Pham talking yesterday about how disgusted he was with the Houston Astros.
I'm curious what you believed from yesterday, because there was definitely a lot that was floating around, and some of it seemed over the top to me.
Ben, don't you dare. If you come in here and you throw cold water on my fun FU Astros Friday, I'm going to kick you in your shins.
FU!
So we'll get to that. We got some Hammer Time coming up as well.
We got the
Friday.
Rhino Report, too.
The Rhino Report is not yet. I will not miss it this time, though, but it is about 22 minutes away. Stick around. Better Woods Friday is finally here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Didn't catch the game? We've got you covered. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, you know it must be a good documentary if I continue to watch it without Woods actually assigning it to me as homework.
Yes, man.
Because I didn't have to continue. No. I watched the first episode. You said, please watch the first episode so we can talk about it. And I said, okay, I did. I had to turn it back on yesterday. This is the Aaron Hernandez documentary. What's it called? Killing Time?
Killer Inside. Something like that.
And I watched the second episode yesterday. They started getting into stuff that I didn't know about in this story that was just crazy. I had no idea about how he tried to kill his drug dealer friend down in Miami, and he survived.
Yeah.
And that whole part of the story, I did not realize, I mean, how unbelievable that part was, that he went into a football season having a drug dealer that he had shot in the head, basically looking for revenge that entire year. I mean, can you imagine? This could have been, I mean, it was as bad as it was. It could have been an even worse story. What if there had been collateral damage? Tom Brady had gotten taken out in some sort of revenge attack at some point. It wasn't out of the question based on the testimony that you listened to that became part of this documentary.
Tom Brady is impervious to bullets and fire and death. No, I'm with you, man. It's trippy. It's been so many years, but it is a riveting, riveting documentary. I mean, this is I had people texting me yesterday, like, dude, I haven't seen it yet. And I listened to you guys, and I have FOMO now from seeing it. And I warned them. I said, it's not an easy watch. You don't leave watching it feeling great about yourself or the state of humanity when you watch this documentary. But for what it is, it's really, really well done.
So, I will definitely finish this one out. I've committed. I'm pot committed. I'm all in here.
Well, you got one more.
Yeah, I actually didn't even start the third one.
Look at you. You couldn't stay away.
Couldn't stop it. It ended at such a cliffhanger in the courtroom, the second episode, that I gotta watch a little bit more of this. This is really good stuff.
The third one's a banger, too. So, I'm probably going to end up rewatching it when Paul and I are out at Fantasy Camp, man, because it was just that good.
So before we get to our discussion, and we will talk a lot about what happened in baseball yesterday, more stuff coming out about the Astros. Obviously, another manager loses his job with Carlos Beltran and the Mets. Before we do that, let's get a check of traffic here in our first hour on a Friday morning, 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. I think everyone's seen what's going on down in Australia with the wildfires. One of the real tragedies is with the animals. The wildlife has just been devastated down there. We've partnered with the San Diego Zoo. Zoo is collecting monetary donations that will save koalas and other countless victims devastated by the Australian wildfires. Make a donation by heading to our website, 973thefansd.com. I want to hear your take just quickly, because so many things were hitting my Twitter feed yesterday. I mean, the biggest being the accusations that it wasn't just trash can banging that the Astros used to alert their batters of what pitch was coming, that reports came out, you know, starting with tweets and then with other players that had said, hey, we heard the same thing, that certain players, including Jose Altuve, were wearing some sort of device under their jersey that would probably wouldn't be that loud. That would be very suspicious. I'm thinking kind of more like a phone set on vibrate, but very small, that just gives you a little vibrate, like a buzz on your skin.
Yeah.
So they would instantly, someone would hit a button, it would instantly communicate whatever the set code was for the pitch that was coming, and they'd know right away what it was without having any audio signal to not erase any suspicion from the other team.
You know, before we dive into that, there's a I'm going back and forth on Twitter with one of our listeners, Gilbert. And listen, this is a point that's been made, it's been belabored, but I think it's important to bring it up again. And I want to get your take, Benny, before you toss to me. I want to get your take and yours, Paul. Gilbert listened to the CC Sabathia interview and said, well, if CC has issues with cheating, didn't he play with guys that cheated while playing together in New York? Andy Pettit, A-Rod. I don't know that Andy Pettit was on that 2009 World Series team. I think they played together. I think they did. But
I think he was.
That being said, what is your take on steroids as it pertains to this? Because the thing that came out yesterday that really turned my eye was Mike Clevenger and Trevor Bauer both saying, I would rather throw to a guy on juice than a guy that knew me. And Bauer said 100% of the time. What is your general take on, like, because again, are they looking for an edge? Sure. They absolutely are. People that took PEDs were looking for an edge and they cheated and they got popped for it. And a lot of them sat out, you know, a year for it. That being said, do you feel it's a little bit apples and oranges?
I wouldn't go so far as to say, well, I mean, they're both fruit. I mean, it's both cheating.
They're both fruit.
I'm not going to argue that taking steroids isn't cheating. It is. I remember back in the steroid era feeling really bad for the players who wouldn't take steroids.
Same here.
Because you should be able to have that right and not feel that pressure to keep up, that you had to actually like inject something into your body. And watching other guys who did like surpass you, guys who you thought, I was better than this guy, you know, I had more power than this guy, I worked harder than this guy, and all of a sudden he just goes shooting past me and he's signing a, you know, multi-million dollar deal. I felt really bad for those guys. That to me was the biggest effect of the steroid era. Certain players got advantages over other players. I don't know that it necessarily changed the outcome of a lot of, you know, World Series, playoff games. It wasn't that dramatic, immediate impact on a game the way, you know, stealing a sign and instantly knowing what pitch
right.
is changing the outcome of batter to batter, pitch to pitch, game to game, even in the playoffs, seems to have a bigger impact on what I care about, and that is the results of the game.
Yeah, I that's what I agree too. And it, you know, everyone acts like if you take steroids, magically you're a great baseball player. There are, I would go so far as to say, tens of thousands of players that took steroids that never did anything, that did nothing. It did nothing for them whatsoever. As someone that's been on testosterone for 5 years, testosterone like a needle, the whole thing. You know how many home runs I've hit? 2. You know how many games I play a year? 100. That's 500 games I've hit 2 home runs. It's not a magical potion. It's just not. You know what it does? You know what it's really good at? Recovery. 162-game season, Your body breaks down. Andy Pettit, in his press conference, was weeping because he goes, I was injured. I wanted to get back to my team. I knew it would help me recover faster. Does it make him a better pitcher? It helped him recover faster. And that's, to me, you nailed it when you said, this is a World Series game or an NLCS game, an ALCS game, and these guys know what pitches are coming.
That's a good point. The effect was of steroids. You had the star players on the field more than they probably would have been.
Correct.
Does that have an impact? Absolutely. But is that good? That's good for all of us fans.
I'm telling you, everyone remembers 98. Baseball was in the crapper. 98 comes around, Sosa, McGuire. Boy, we all turned a blind eye. Why? Because it was freaking awesome.
But this, the Astros scandal, that's bad for all fans. That makes us feel, you know, like we got cheated somehow.
Of course.
Steroids don't necessarily ever make me feel like I got cheated. I feel like maybe some other guys got cheated.
Sure.
But as a fan, I didn't really get cheated.
I love it.
But in this case, you know, Dodgers fans, Yankees fans, fans of 29 other teams can all feel like, hey, I got cheated just as much as the players did.
And I got audio for you guys later that's really going to shed some light on this, man. They went digging around for this yesterday, and it's explosive to say the least. But we're cutting into one of our favorite segments of the day, this one.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Start Hammer Time. Real quick, on the steroid thing, in college, my backup for outside linebacker was a scrub. He started juicing one offseason.
Yeah.
Got shredded, but doesn't change the fact that he still was a scrub as a football player. Just because you take steroids doesn't mean you're good at sports.
He didn't take your job.
No, sorry, Taylor. Anyways, for this Hammer Time, we'll go and dive into the social media world. We always kind of laugh at these people, the people that like their own tweets or their own posts on Facebook
yes.
or Instagram. Why would you ever talk bad about someone that likes their own post? Because why wouldn't they like their own post? They're the one that posted it.
Well, I think the fact that you post it means that you like it, right? Like that. If I'm not going to post, I'm not going to post something I don't necessarily like.
Yeah, but everyone knows that feeling of posting something and then nobody likes it.
It's maybe though I've deleted tweets
it's
before. I'm not kidding.
So
and I get a decent reaction on a lot of my stuff. Some I don't. So they're not all home runs.
Yeah,
but I've posted stuff and been like ha 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 ha. 14 minutes goes by. I'm like, all right, delete it. Nobody got it.
No answer. So if you can avoid that and like just that peace of mind that you can get when you scroll through your timeline and see like, oh man, I got at least one like, because sometimes one like it gets the ball rolling.
Yeah,
another person sees that like,
you're priming
and
the pump.
Adds it. Yeah, so I just think that.
Do you like your own posts?
I don't, because of other people have been talking trash on me because I like my own posts. So I'm gonna try to maybe start a movement and say, hey, let's stop talking all this trash on people that like their own posts. It's a good post, like it.
I feel like you're defending somebody here.
I think everyone wants to. Everyone likes the validation of likes and retweets. I do too, but no one wants to really admit it either. You want to think it's social media. It's not that important. You know, I don't care about it so much. And liking your own post is the ultimate admission that you are desperate for that approval from other people. I mean, it's one thing to appreciate. Oh, that's cool. I got 40 likes on that tweet. But when you're doing it yourself, it just smacks to me of a little desperation.
A little bit. It feels a little desperate.
I'm going to be honest. I'm always desperate for some likes and retweets when I tweet stuff.
We all are. I mean, we are all starved for attention.
I love it.
We all want to be funny. We all want people to like us and think, he's so funny. You look. Of course you look when you tweet something. Sometimes I just go at a tweet storm like I did yesterday. I'm just retweeting everything I'm finding from this scandal. Yesterday, the baseball Armageddon, as I call it.
I'm just saying that it'd be nice to be able to like my own stuff, maybe add a little bit of extra numbers to tweets that I think are pretty impressive.
And I mean, if you do it, you're going to get made fun of.
But then it's a slippery slope because, you know, one tweet, one retweet, one like from yourself doesn't have a big impact. But then are you going to like buy followers that, you know, pay for likes and retweets?
I don't even like buying food for myself.
Things like that. I mean, there's some integrity. It has to go with the post. It's got to stand on its own merits.
Stop. Hammer Time.
We all care too much about social media.
We do.
We do. I love it.
No doubt about it. And I'm as guilty as anyone
yeah.
on that. Maybe that's a resolution for the future. Care less about it. But it's good. It's good for our show. I mean, we
have to have it.
Interact with our listeners. It's a great thing. It's the best thing. All right, we got 3 hours. It's going to be a great show today. We've got a huge guest coming up. Stick around. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.